Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, hey, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up over there this morning, so stop on over there and take a gander at that. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Of course, Dan and I are also on Twitter. You can find me at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan, Saturday, I would say if you're not doing anything, you could go check this out, but I guess technically we're media, and the media is not invited. The NFL has lined up a workout for Colin Kaepernick. Now, this is just kind of a strange scenario all in all to begin with here. Normally, they do these kind of things on a Tuesday because I'm sure you're not surprised to find out that on Saturday, most of the teams are traveling to their destination to play a game on Sunday. Apparently, Kaepernick's people asked to move this to Tuesday, and they were told no. And then the NFL asked them if they could move it back a week from this Saturday to next Saturday, and they were also told no. So he's going to try out in front of, I don't know who, but every team was invited, and he's going to get his chance to show them whatever. Are you buying this gets him a deal, or is this just a dog and pony show?
I think it's a dog and pony show. I mean, I'm sure teams will have some kind of scout there, wouldn't they?
You would think with as bad a quarterback play as there's been in the NFL that, you know, teams would come and take a look. I guess my concern is I'm not sure, you know, what he really has to offer anymore. I mean, it's been how many seasons since he played, and you're the only one who seems to remember that he had just lost his starting job when all this went down.
Yeah.
So I don't know how this goes. Is the NFL just doing this to avoid another court collusion case with Kaepernick?
Well, I mean, if the NFL is denying him, it's not really collusion. It's just saying no. Or, I mean, I guess that is confusing. You know, is the NFL on the hook or is it the code, the owners?
Right. You know, that's the odd thing about it is who do we point the finger at? And, you know, he's already won one collusion court case against the NFL. I guess what kind of popped into my head right away was if he really wanted to play, you know, and kind of prove himself, you know, why did he not sign with the XFL?
Because it's not the NFL, and he wouldn't get paid as much.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, the payday would be much lower, but it would have given him an opportunity to prove himself, you know, against competition. You know, maybe it's not the best competition, but it would be competition. And I don't know if, you know, if this is going to work out, then we're going to, you know, we're going to point all the fingers at, you know, the NFL again, going, oh, look at the way they treated this guy. You know, it was so unfair. I can't believe they did this to him. When it might boil down to a fact that he can just no longer play. So yeah, I'm kind of baffled as to how to look at it or how to take it in, but it just seems, I'm not even sure how it seems anymore. It just seems more like a publicity stunt than it does anything else. And I'm really almost kind of under the impression that the NFL wants him to fail. Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what his level of football activity has been. How great is he really going to do?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously he's been saying all the right things about how well he still works out, and you know, he's got all that going on. But again, you know, I just don't know if, you know, is that enough to replace not playing? I mean, you know, I mean, how long has it been now? Do we?
God, was it 2014? When they went to the Super Bowl.
So,
he played about 5 or 6 games after that season.
So yeah, it's just been kind of like, hey, here we go. Let's run him out here and see what we get. But yeah, I, you know, again, I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, here we go. This will be interesting to see how this plays out. And now, what's your take on the fact that the media isn't invited?
They're trying to keep all his political views out of it.
So, you know, and I, you know, I guess now they also, yeah, they mentioned that, you know, not only is there going to be the workout, which they are going to tape, there's also going to be an interview process. So it's going to be very much like, almost like the scouting combine, it seems. How, you know, I'm almost to the point, Dan, where I think the interview itself may be more important than the workout, isn't it, at this point with this guy?
Yeah. And I think that's why the media is not involved.
The funny thing is I think, too, and I don't even know, maybe it's not the funny thing, but the odd thing about it is, I believe that, you know, if this guy seriously wants a career, he basically just kind of needs to stay away from the media because, you know, they're not going to do him any favors. They're just going to push him on the issue, right, about kneeling and whatever else he's got going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just don't know. It is possible he still has an agenda. To be honest, I don't know what he's really done, since, being, out of the league. I mean, he did kind of fade away, which I think we expected, right? You didn't expect him to, to be able to keep it as moving the needle.
You broke up right for that last sentence.
I said you didn't expect him to be able to keep his name in the news, did you?
No. I mean, Nike really tried helping by signing him to do whatever it was that he was supposed to do. But, I mean, you know, and this is why it more leads to, didn't he just do it because he was throwing a fit? Because, you know, the injustice of his removal from starting quarterback, which had more to do with his coach going with his guy, and unfortunately Kaepernick wasn't his guy.
Yeah. Well, humorously, you know, I looked it up here. He hadn't played since 2016. All right. He played in 12 games. He started 11 of them. All right. The team was 1-10 in his 11 starts. So you can kind of see why they made the switch there. You know, I mean, that's guffling. You know, he was, how old is he now? He was 29 then, so he just turned 32. I don't know. I think they're asking a lot from a 32-year-old quarterback who hasn't played in 3 years. You know, I've heard a lot of the rumors about who's attending, like names like the Broncos, the Dolphins, the Redskins, the Washington football team. And I didn't say Redskins. I said the Washington football team, I don't understand in reality why every team just doesn't send a scout. It really wouldn't be that big of a deal to, run a guy out wherever this is on a Saturday. And, you know, this way you can say you were there and represented it. Because obviously, you know, not all these teams have a need for him. I'm just not sure, why or how this has happened. Or if he's even really going to show enough to get himself a contract.
I don't think so. I forgot my train of thought. You know, the other
part
of it is if they're recording it, any scout could watch it via whatever link they're given. I mean, do you really have to be there live?
Sometimes it helps, to see it live. But, yeah, I do think it's funny here, Dan, because, on the Mickey Mouse Network, no surprise, like every site, there's a big article about this. And the thing they mention is let's rewind what happened with Kaepernick and why he's out of the NFL. And they immediately start with how he ignited controversy when he began sitting and later kneeling during the national anthem. Now, again, no one mentions in this article, and let me go hunt up the top here and see who wrote this. Dan Graziano wrote this. Good old Dan doesn't mention that he was benched before he started sitting and kneeling for the national anthem. Just one of those, one of those odd, and again, you don't want the facts to ruin a good story. I understand what he was doing. He was trying to draw attention to an issue, and he did. And to be fair, he used his own money, unlike a lot of people who try to do these things. So I give him credit for all that. I don't like that he knelt during the national anthem, but you know, I've said that a million times here. It's fully his right to do it here. That's why we live here. So, you know, we'll let that slide. But I don't know. I would be interested, you know, if he does get signed, Dan, they have new rules now governing anthem behavior. And now they do say here that this rule has never been enforced. And I don't know, have you seen anybody kneel this year, or have they shown anybody?
I don't think they show it, but I haven't tuned into a game right off the start.
Yeah, so I mean, I would be interested if he did get signed and he kneeled, if they would enforce this rule on him. So,
well, what is the rule?
You know, they actually don't go into it here. They just say that there's been a new rule passed, and they don't explain what it is. So let me see if I can find it here for us. I'm gonna just use Dan's Bing engine here, and. Oh, yeah, here you go. The new national anthem policy requires players to stand if they are on the field during the performance, but gives them the option to remain in the locker room if they prefer. So, yeah, those would be his options now. So yeah, and you know,
on the field. Yeah, if you're not on the field with your whole team, then you can't start.
Yeah, you know, I think I am just a bit confused, Dan, because they keep saying he wants to play. He still wanted to play. You know, he's ready to go and all this stuff. And what I don't get is, if you really wanted to do this, why didn't you go to Canada and at least stay sharp? You know, why didn't, you know, and maybe this wouldn't have been a good fit, but why not get into the AF? Because that was supposed to be an NFL developmental league. You could have shown the NFL what you had without some fancy out-of-the-way tryout that they're kind of throwing together all of a sudden. You know what I mean? I mean, why not, if you want to play, why not play?
I think it's partly arrogant, too proud, you know, kind of like the guy, and I'm sure you might have had this happen at work, where you've had a guy get fired for doing something totally against, you know, protocol, but continues to use the union and fight to get his job back, knowing full well that, you know, my dad had that. He would tell me about, you know, guys blatantly steal out of boxes and then use the union to get their job back and then continuously fight to get a job back.
You just described every day at my job. You just described every day at my job. So, yeah. So, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously there's – you know, a lot of bad quarterback situations out there, but, you know, a lot of the teams, I mean, like the Dolphins and the Bengals look like they want to draft a young guy because they're not ready to win. So I don't know how much help Kaepernick would give them. you know, the Redskins drafted their guy last year. So I don't know, you know, where, you know, there are some landing spots, but I just don't know, you know, how great they are. I mean, Tennessee needs to make a quarterback decision. You know, Denver is hugely up in the air on what they're doing. You know, Tampa Bay might be another place if they decide to move on from Jameis Winston. But other than that, I mean, these other teams look kind of set in, you know, the direction they're going, unless he's willing to sit behind a, you know, a Russell Wilson or a Drew Brees. You know, like, you don't know how much longer Brees is going to play. You know, I believe he just turned 40. You know, I mean, would he be willing to sit behind Tom Brady and learn in New England? So, you know, and obviously you got to wonder what the Bears would think here. I mean, you know, I've heard so much about it. And the other thing is apparently Cam Newton just said he'd be open to a deal to Chicago. So, you know, you would have to – I think if you're taking quarterbacks, you're taking Newton over Kaepernick, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought Brady was coming.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just don't know – you know, obviously, barring a major injury, how many spots there are for him, and will – you know, will these teams be interested? You know, in all honesty, I think Tampa Bay – would be the front runner for him because he seems like the kind of quarterback that Bruce Arians could get the most out of. But, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, maybe he goes out and has a horrible workout and he doesn't look in shape. And I honestly don't think a team brings him in this year because I don't think he could help anybody. Do you?
No.
Oh, so, you know, we'll, you know, I guess we'll have to see and, you know, continue to kind of roll along with this. But, yeah, the tryout is Saturday. I don't know where it is, but it is Saturday. So if you're interested, good luck. Maybe you can find it. Let us know, Sportstime Radio, you know, at hotmail.com. Send us an email. Tell us how it went. I don't know if Dan would be interested, but I would be interested to know how it went. So. Let us know.
Is it in Indiana? How much are they charging?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly wish I knew. I just don't know where it was or how it was or whatever. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to see if there was more, you know, more about it, but I haven't seen a date. And I do want to know before we kind of move on here. Are you buying this as strictly a publicity stunt by the NFL, or do you think there's some actual merit to it?
I think it's some merit to it.
So, but yeah, I have to ask you because for the life of me, I can't figure this one out. How the hell did Rocco Baldelli win American League Manager of the Year, Dan?
Because he's the only guy who won it that didn't play professional ball.
No, he did. Remember, I believe he got seriously injured, and his career got cut short. He was an outfielder for the Rays when they may have been the Devil Rays.
Oh, yeah. But who got it? I thought I saw the post this morning by MLB. Was that the NL Coach of the Year?
Yeah, the NL was Mike Schilt. And
oh,
you know, I didn't have a problem with him winning, but I mean, in all honesty, in the American League, I thought it was Aaron Boone's award to lose with what he went through, you know, with the injuries and everything else the Yankees had to deal with. I was just like, oh, yeah, this is no doubt this is Boone's award, and nope. So yeah, I'm waiting for you to explain it.
I'm thinking because you know, I'd like to justify, but the Twins were in the weakest division in baseball. So, you know, kudos to you that you won, but I mean, your team won the division because you have two teams that aren't doing anything whatsoever. One team that's trying to work something out, and then one team that was trying to. So you only won because nobody can perform in your division.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not that the Twins had a bad year or anything. I mean, they played really well, and, you know, they were a bit of a surprise. I don't know if anybody had them doing as well as they did, but, yeah, you know, I mean, the Yankees played the majority of the year without Giancarlo Stanton, Luis Severino, and Miguel Andujar. You know, obviously, I know Andujar isn't a top player, but Severino's a number one starter, and Stanton is the best power hitter in the game. You know, and then you add in the other miscellaneous injuries that they went through and dealt with, and I really thought, and it's hard for me to say this for a Yankee manager because I've never been a big Yankees fan, but I really thought Boone deserved the award.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. He might as well have just given it to Baltimore because he had the Rookie of the Year on his team.
Yeah. So, and then the other thing you have to justify, you have got to explain this because I do not get it. You know, I don't understand how Dave Martinez wasn't in the final three for National League Manager of the Year, or let alone win the award, which obviously he didn't. Smith in the voting. How the hell did that happen?
Everyone losing their love for Joe Madden. He's one of his guys.
Well, Joe Madden didn't get any votes, so that was a surprise. But, you know, I mean, this team was dead and buried. You know, we were throwing dirt on their grave. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted this guy fired, and I wasn't the only one. And all of a sudden, they're in the wild card race, and then they're a wild card team. And again, I know the postseason doesn't count, so we won't throw that out. But I what more he could have done or had to do? And you know, I mean, I know the Cardinals, you know, had a solid season, and you know they had some injuries, nowhere near like the Yankees had, but they had some injuries. You know, and Craig Counsell of the Brewers finished second again, and Schnitker of the Braves was third, and then Dave Roberts ended up wandering in fourth, and I think Roberts even got a first-place vote. And I just don't buy that Roberts did more with the Dodgers than Martinez did with the Nationals.
Well, and Roberts is in the lineup, so what is he doing except getting in?
Yeah.
Excited.
So, yeah, I was shocked when I looked at the vote, because I just naturally assumed that Martinez would finish fourth. You know, he didn't make the cut as one of the finalists, so I was like, okay, no big deal. You know, he'll be the fourth-place guy. And I click on and look at the voting today, and he's fifth. Like, yeah, okay. So yeah, I'm still waiting for you to explain that to me. I don't get that at all.
I have no clue. That's why we're not allowed to vote.
Yeah, because my ballot would make sense and nobody would, you know. So. But yeah,
like,
you know,
how
then
we didn't vote for everyone we reported you to vote for.
So, yes, we insisted that you vote for this person, and we want to know why you didn't. So, but we did have, you know, today it's Cy Young. So, and in the National League, we had Jacob DeGrom repeat as the National League Cy Young. Dan, not only did he repeat, he dominated. He got 29 of 30 first-place votes. The other first-place vote went to Hyunjin Ryu of the Dodgers. Ryu did fit. Well, actually, Ryu and Scherzer tied for second. Strasburg and Jack Flaherty then tied for third. After that, it was Mike Soroka, Sonny Gray, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Kirby Yates, and Patrick Corbin receiving votes. I had a tough time calling this, Dan. I kind of wanted Ryu to win. I thought he deserved it. I really have a big problem with DeGrom winning. Do you have any issue with this or anything you thought was going to happen?
Not really, but do you think it's the media's attempt to try to sway the market?
Yeah, well, what I actually think it is I think it's the analytic guys getting over the fact that wins are no longer important because, you know, DeGrom doesn't win any games. He has great stats, but he never wins any games. So, you know, this will just be their, you know, well, look, you know, he did this and, you know, he only got so many wins while – you know, Strasburg had 18 or whatever. I think he led the National League in wins and, you know, tied for third.
The next stop will be Fenway Park, 80th Avenue.
So, yeah, I just don't know. I mean, you know, you've got a guy who beat out two guys who helped their teams get to the playoffs while the Mets fumbled around looking at each other.
Well, you know, it's funny because for years they've always claimed that, you know, it should be going to playoff contending teams unless it fits their agenda.
Right. So, you know, yeah, that, you know, that was always a big deal until Mike Trout came along and the Angels couldn't win anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, and my question, you know, I threw out there is that you know, does it have anything to do with them, you know, trying to sway the market? But I was completely wrong in that because he signed through 2024 and you know, this season would be good for anyone to take him at $23 million, but 21 and 22, he's getting paid $33.5 million. He can opt out after. Damn my screen. He can opt out after 22. But in 2023, he gets $30.5 million. In 2024, if they continue to go with him, he's $32.5 million. The one thing I found very interesting with his contract, Big Jack, is they've deferred $52.5 million for the 2035 through 39 season. So when he's 47 through 51, he's going to be getting paid on average $13 million a year. But good for him.
Yeah, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of looking at his numbers. He was 11-8. He had a 2.53 ERA. Ryu was 4.5 with a 2.32 ERA. DeGrom did start three more games. He pitched 22, almost 23 more innings. He had a lot more strikeouts, but he's a strikeout pitcher, 2.55 to 1.63. And their whips were real close. DeGrom was 0.97 and Ryu was 1.01. So, you know, they were pretty even statistically wise. You know, Scherzer was 11-7 in 27 starts with a 2.92 ERA. He, you know, he had the 238 strikeouts. His WHIP was 1.18. So, you know,
so WHIP don't matter.
Kind of, yeah, well, you know, nothing matters, buddy. So,
well, no, my point is, if wins don't really matter, then how is his stats really that much different or worse than DeGrom?
Yeah, and, you know, that's the odd thing is, you know, the guys with all sub-3 ERA, the biggest win total is Soroka at 13. The fact that these guys didn't win any runs, but yet didn't win any games. I don't know how that played in. I'm just wondering if, you know, maybe their managers didn't have enough faith with them to send them out there in a tie game to hold it. See if they could get them to lead or not. But he's back to back, which is a heck of an accomplishment. So. We also have the American League one. We couldn't decide. It was decided for us. And it's Justin Verlander by a nose over his teammate, Cole. They got all the first place votes. They got all the first and second place votes. Verlander got 17 first and 13 second. So that means Cole got 13 first and 17 second. Charlie Morton finished third. Shane Bieber comes in fourth. Lance Lynn popped on the ballot at fifth. Eduardo Rodriguez and Dan, they weren't paying attention. Lucas Giolito got 8 fifth place votes. Tied for a spot.
Wow.
And then Mike Minor picked up. So there were some guys smart enough out there who realized that Giolito deserved votes. You know, obviously didn't deserve to win the award, but had a good enough season to deserve votes. So there were eight out of 30 guys who were at least that intelligent. And oddly, it looked like only one of them came from Chicago. So.
Oh, only one of the votes came from Chicago? Or.
Yeah, whoever Daryl Von Schoen is with the Sun-Times voted Cole, Verlander, Morton, Lynn, and Bieber as his five.
Oh, he didn't even. I didn't even know the Sun-Times was still around. I thought they consolidated and closed.
So. But yeah, so we got the question answered who it would be. It's Justin Verlander. You can't really say there's much issue here, right? I mean, you could have went either way.
Yeah, you could have. Do you think that makes any difference, though, when it comes to Cole getting paid next year?
No, oh, God, no.
Or,
no, did you hear his team is already looking for $30-plus million a year?
No, I didn't even see anything yet. I got an update from Baseball Reference, but I forgot to read the email. They haven't sent anything out in a while, so.
Yeah, they're already saying, you know, 30 mil a year. I don't even know if he's a Boris guy or not. He might be, but yeah, the bidding apparently is going to million.
Well, and how can you argue with it when I just threw out Jacob DeGrom's numbers?
Right.
You know.
Well, that's where you can say that, you know, he's never won a Cy Young, right?
Yeah.
So. And that was Verlander's second, by the way. That's the second time he's won the award. Garrett Cole is represented by Scott Boras, so just so we know.
Oh. I actually thought Verlander won a couple more than that, at least. That is at least third or fourth.
He could have won a few years ago.
Oh.
But he got, you know, that was that controversy where there was a large quantity of ballots that came in weeks before the season ended. and he had like three good outings to end the year and lost the award because these ballots were already turned in. So,
hey, I mean, why not just turn him in April? What's the difference?
Right. Well, you know, I mean, all you really got to do is listen to the MLB network and they'll tell you who to vote for. Once they tell you who to vote for, just write it down and send it in, right?
Which is, it's funny though, because if you go back to what was it, 2010 or 11, whatever year the MLB network came into play, you know, all anyone ever listened to was Mickey Mouse. So it's interesting that they, you know, it's interesting that MLB network has kind of taken on that front, so to speak. And to be honest, I thought having the MLB network would bring more objectivity to reporting of their own product, but I was very wrong.
Yeah, sadly mistaken. Well, you know, they were, you know, in a way, the best, one of the best things that happened to the MLB network was the Mickey Mouse network having to cut payroll, you know, because they were able to bring in legitimate names, you know, like I believe Peter Gammons was one of the first guys to jump over there. And I mean, when he made the move, I mean, he was the baseball reporter. You know, I mean, he got all the stories. You know, everybody went to Peter Gammon. So to get him was, you know, a huge coup. And, you know, and then obviously they were smart by bringing in, you know, players who have been knowledgeable, not just big-time players, but players who know what they're talking about. So, you know, that's a big plus. But, yeah, you know, so it kind of worked, you know, kind of worked out for them with the – you know, the contract cuts to them being able to bring in the right guy.
Yeah, my point, though, is the fact that they've kind of taken on that, you know, this is the way it is, were not as objective as I thought they would have been, you know?
Yeah.
Which is where they kind of started off to be. Yeah, I thought we would, you know, learn all about baseball and get everything as opposed to the East Coast and Mike Trout Show network.
Yeah, the humorous thing is every now and then Harold Reynolds will pop in with a little objectivity when they're talking about stuff. And, you know, sometimes it's just an alternative player choice when, you know, they're pumping the regular guys down your throat. And most of the time when he does, he ends up getting shot down by those guys.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that's exactly what led to his demise on Baseball Tonight, was the fact that he didn't toe the company line. So then he left,
then he
and, you know,
him.
Shortly thereafter. And then he what?
He hugged somebody too aggressively, so he was terminated.
Oh, is that really why he was terminated?
Yeah, that they were – he was terminated for – as they put it, hugging a female employee too aggressively. I don't know what that means. I don't know if I've ever hugged anybody too aggressively before. Maybe if I did, I apologize. So.
Yeah. Well, I think that was the excuse for why he wasn't towing the company line and agreeing with everybody on Baseball Tonight.
Oh.
Right.
Well,
but
you know, Steve Phillips was in that same boat, and you know, they got rid of him kind of in the same way.
Yeah, note to self, if we ever get anywhere, don't hug any female reporters, even if it's Kelly Crow.
Right. So,
don't shake
you
hands.
Know, and,
don't
you know,
keep your eyes down. Up.
I wouldn't hug any of the male reporters. Oh.
Yeah. So. That's true. But, you know, I'm almost time for break time, but I thought this was interesting. I saw a couple of my friends posted online or on Facebook and Twitter, whatever. But I finally, you know, I didn't have really time to look into what they were talking about because, of course, you know, they just post a snippet. And it wasn't until I saw on Instagram earlier today or shortly ago what they were talking about, and that's the fact that allegedly the Astros had a camera out in center field or somewhere that was – recording and stealing signs. And, you know, one of my friends was like, oh, they're going to get their title taken away. I don't really see that happening. just because of the way I know baseball is. That's, you know, it's not college. So, you know, the NCAA takes stuff away. I've never heard any reports of, aside from what the Black White Sox or whatever they called them back in the day, that team was probably the only one that got anything taken away from them. So, you know, I kind of wanted to get your take on it if you read more into this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been listening to the stuff all day, and you know, I mean, sign stealing is a way of life in baseball. You know, and I don't know, you know, what you can really do about it. I mean, the cameras are there. I know the teams aren't supposed to use them, but I wouldn't be surprised if every team in some way, shape, or form has done this. You know, I mean, it's, you know, what I do find really hilarious was the way it was apparently communicated was after they stole the sign, it was done by banging on garbage cans was, I think, an off-speed pitch, and then whistling was a fastball. So I don't know. I mean, you know, we stole signs for, you know, every team I played on. You know, we stole signs. Obviously, we didn't have any high tech or, you know, anything like that to have them. I know we always had the, you know, it was your number if it was a fastball, and it was your last name if it was a breaking pitch. So, you know, that was just our intelligent way of getting it across while, you know, we were out on second base. And, I've actually played with guys who didn't want to know what was coming. They didn't like it. So that was always, you know, just kind of the way, you know, the way it went. And I'm sure there's going to be ramifications from this, and, you know, they'll get a healthy fine. But obviously they're not taking the title away from them. And I understand that every Dodger fan is going to be up in arms because, you know, that's who they beat in the World Series, or probably just any team, you know, any team that they beat anywhere through the playoffs is just going to be, you know, their fan base is going to be totally nuts and be like, well, if they didn't cheat, they wouldn't have beat us. You know, yeah, I get it. You know, what's the term? You know, I understand what you're selling, but there's no way in hell I'm buying this. So, you know, it's just one of those things. So we'll see how it goes and what MLB tries to do with it. But yeah, I don't know what they really can do. I mean, what's the appropriate punishment? I heard somebody say that they expect the fine to be $2 million. Is that enough for you? So, you know, I mean, are you buying that as a good, a good start or a good? I mean, do you want to? I mean, can you penalize them draft picks? What else can you do? I don't really know the. You know, what other type of ramifications, I guess you would say, or anything else they could come up with. I'm looking to see if I can find some more information here and see what they say. They electronically sold signs during the 2017 season. It says that four people who were with the Astros have admitted this. Mike Fiers, who's now a member of the Oakland A's, came out and actually admitted this. Let's see. What did the Astros do? As noted in the introduction, the Astros used a camera positioned in center field to steal signs during games. Team personnel would watch the feed in a hallway between the clubhouse and the dugout and would relay what was coming by hitting a garbage can. Let's see, get this out of the way. Yeah, by hitting a garbage can. So there you go. When did they do it? They said it was likely too loud to use the garbage can system during the World Series, and that they weren't able to intact the system for away games. So maybe they didn't do it during the World Series, but based here a little later, it says there's a video suggesting the Astros used a similar system in the 2017 World Series, but with a whistle in place of the banging. So, and then they do point out that the Astros allegedly got into a shouting match with the New York Yankees that postseason over the whistling noise. So maybe the Yankees figured out something was going on, or they had an idea that something was going on. So, that's one of those things. The article goes on to mention, don't other teams do this? Remember, in 2017, the Red Sox got caught using an Apple Watch during the regular season to steal signs. This goes on all the time. I remember the White Sox had a big to-do, I think it might have been Chris Sale, with the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers had a man in center field sitting behind the outfield fence with binoculars. And the White Sox were just dead on convinced that he was looking in, stealing signs and relaying them. So, this is one of those things that have been going on pretty much ever since baseball started using signs. Teams have been looking to steal them. So, I can't say, this is a gigantic shock or, anything like this. I do find it maybe just a tad odd that, Fiers is saying it now that he's a couple years removed and he has his World Series ring. So I don't know.
Oh, is it a former player saying it or?
Well, Mike Fiers was the one who brought it up, the former pitcher. The former Astros pitches with the A's now. So he was the one. He was the first one who brought it up. There have been other people who have came out since and kind of confirmed what he said. What are you buying for punishment here, I guess, is the question for you.
$2 million?
That's the rumor. Does it need to be more? Do they need to lose draft picks? What do we need here to make everybody happy and make this basically go away?
I think the money is irrelevant because, you don't want to put your team out of, one of your teams in your league out of business. Number one.
Right.
But I do think, maybe subtracting a draft pick here or there, or I don't know what their status is on any qualifying because I don't think they extended any qualifying hours offers. But I think taking away some of their international pool money would hit them a little bit, seeing as they have several international stars on their team.
They did extend the qualifying offer to Gerrit Cole.
Oh. See, well, right there, I think that it's possible that if he doesn't sign there, that, you know, this should be immediate. This should be rectified in the next, before the winter meetings, that, you know, it is that they don't, you know, they don't get the qualifying offer or draft pick. For, you know, anyone could sign him and they get to keep their draft pick. But in the interest of fairness, we need to get a Vince McMahon clip there, right?
Yeah.
You know, where is the rock hard proof? I don't want hearsay from a guy that used to play for them. You know, I mean, I guess you're there, but I want the proof. And unless there's rock solid proof, you know, I mean, do we have to go to Congress like we did with the steroid usage?
Yeah. Yeah, we might have to, but, you know, just to see.
I mean, because think about it. If you go back on Doc Ellis, you know, allegedly, what did he throw? A no-hitter? Strong acid? But
yeah.
From what you've told me, I believe it was you that told me that there's a lot of people who really don't believe that story at all.
So, yeah, oh, yeah, there's a ton of people who don't believe that story.
You know, the take is that anyone could believe that he took acid, but maybe, you know, during his acid trip, he came up with that story. But, you know, I mean, again, we need some rock solid proof before we really go accusing the Astros. I mean, it really didn't come to light that the St. Louis Cardinals were stealing, what was it, proprietary data or software,
yeah,
from the, you know, from the,
from the Astros thing. So, yeah, I gotta tell you, I think it's more than just the Astros doing this. I don't, they're the lone team out there. Doing,
no,
you know,
I don't buy that for one minute.
So, you know, and that, you know, that makes it even, you know, even tougher for me to kind of, you know, to kind of come up with a penalty because, you know, yeah, they're not the only one.
I got to go to LA and apologize. Stand on the freeway with a sign. We cheated. We're sorry.
Sorry. Sorry we cheated. Here's your World Series ring.
Yeah. Sorry we did what everybody else has been doing.
So, yeah, somebody just dimed us out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I did want to ask you, I know we're running up against the time frame here, but did you are you now a Disney Plus guy? I know there was a gigantic deal made about it. Are you on the Disney bandwagon?
Oh, yeah. I purchased it months ago.
Oh, okay. So, and have you watched it yet?
Yeah, you know, Santa Claus 2 was on last night, and I'm kind of a little bit of a Star Wars nerd, so I was watching The Mandalorian.
Oh,
so I didn't see Angels in the Outfield on there yet, though. So. Yeah, I look for that.
All right, you know what? I think that's the perfect way to end today. Don't forget to Twitter feed, though, which is Passport